Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94. WIP, check it out there. We got a lot to talk about. Midday show today. A pair of tickets to give away to the HBCU Swingman Classic. Griffey there and Jimmy Rollins there. It's going to be a great event on Friday night at Citizens Bank Park. Be tuned in today. Midday show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Odyssey app, of course, on YouTube and 94 WIP on your radio. Phillies win last night. Wheeler was incredible. And, of course, we are on LeBron James watch, an intense watch here in Philadelphia. But I want to dive in today to what it really has become, and moving up the charts, you know, potentially the Phillies' biggest need as we get closer and closer to the August 3rd MLB trade deadline. And that is another relief pitcher to pitch in front of Joan Duran in this bullpen. Because right now, the Phillies have very little trustworthy in this bullpen other than Duran. Scott Fransky during the broadcast last night had a statistic that over the past X amount of games, it was June something. I kind of missed the date he was saying, but you know, June something to now. So let's say the last few weeks or so. You know, Duran has been perfect. Duran has not given up a run, and the rest of the bullpen entering last night had a 6.53 ERA. It's just not going to cut it. It's not going to be good enough. And the Phillies need more. And they're going to welcome Brad Keller back, and we'll hope he pitches well. And that may inform a lot of this. And they did pay him pretty handsomely to come in here and be an eighth inning guy. He didn't pitch well to start this season. And unless he comes back and dominates the next couple of weeks, I can't trust that he will. So the Phillies need to go find a pitcher that can pitch the seventh and eighth innings in front of Duran to bridge this gap, to get the ball to their closer and to bridge the gap from their great pitching rotation. That's what they need in order to get where they want to get to into a World Series. So, you know, last night, Kerkering danced in and out of so much trouble. I mean, just the runners all over the place. Bowen had to come in and clean up his mess. And I like Jonathan Bolin, and I think we all like Kerkering, but those guys need to be put in their proper roles. I mean, this is not, you know, Ohtani coming up and Bex and Freeman eighth inning, and I'm going to rely on Kerkering out in L.A.? No, I can't do that. So I need a better arm out there. So I've got five names for you, five relief pitchers the Phillies should go after here at the trade deadline. And look, they're going to cost. I mean, these guys, at least a few of them on my list, will cost a lot. Some will cost an exorbitant amount. At least one will cost an exorbitant amount. A couple will cost a little bit, and then we'll see. But, you know, at this point, if the goal is to win the World Series, if you want quality, you got to pay for it. And last year, the Phillies paid for quality in Duran, and it has worked out very well for them. So we shall see where this goes at the trade deadline. But my five names the Phillies should pursue to help the bullpen. Number one, and I've seen this floated out there a couple times the last couple of days by MLB insiders, and it's kind of more of the hypothetical, they should be considering it, is Mason Miller of the San Diego Padres. What if the Padres decide in a year where they're going backwards here, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, to flip him? This would be very A.J. Preller. A.J. Preller is the most aggressive general manager in the sport both ways. He'll sell it or he'll buy, usually buying. But it would not shock me if after giving up what they gave up last year, the Padres look at themselves and say, we're not going to make it. Why don't we cash this thing back in the other way? And if they do, the Phillies need to be at the front of the line. Because Mason Miller is the best relief pitcher in baseball. The best. As great as Duran is, Miller's even better. This guy has a 0.96 ERA. He has a 0.57 fielding independent pitching. He has 3 years of team control left, which would make his price exorbitant for the Padres. But also, to give the Phillies optionality moving forward. You know, they could not re-sign Duran to a $20-plus million a year, $100 million deal, because they'd have a longer-term contract with Miller before his free agency. They could sign Duran, and they could extend Mason Miller to a contract, or they could try to put Miller back in the rotation as the years go forward here, and they're trying to figure out what they're doing with their pitching. Miller was a starting pitcher not that long ago. Miller's rise reminds me of Jonathan Papelbon. Papelbon was a starting pitcher, moved to the bullpen, never went back. But I could see Miller going back with the stuff he has. So it would give you options. Would I trade a ton for Mason Miller? Yes, because I believe with his arm and his history of pitching multiple innings, effectively, you could end the game after six. The game could be over after six. In the postseason,
I think I can get 9 outs in most wins for Miller and Duran. Number one by a mile on my list is Mason Miller to pair with Juan Duran. That would be something else. All right. Number two on my list, and it's probably more of an attainable get, would be Aroldis Chapman from the Boston Red Sox. I got a pair of Red Sox coming up for my next two. Let's start with Chapman. He's a rental. 2.36 earned on average. A big game moxie. You know, he's pitching big games for the Chicago Cubs, for the Yankees, for the Rangers, 2023 winning the World Series. This guy's a stud. Still is. Still throws hard. Takes care of his body. This guy could have been a competitive weightlifter if it wasn't for being a major league pitcher. High octane. I mean, the guy is intense. He's just a different animal. When I used to cover Major League Baseball, and I used to cover a lot of Yankees games, around the time Chapman was there for a little bit, and I covered a lot of games around the time they traded him to the Chicago Cubs in 16 when the Cubs went to win the World Series. Yankees got Gleyber Torres back. It was a win-win for both teams. But I observed a lot of Chapman around the clubhouse and on the field before games that year, you know, in April, May, June, I guess they trade him August, July, whatever it was. He's a different kind of athlete, like a specimen, looks like a football player. And the way he trains, it's different. I'm not surprised at all that he's still throwing gas the way he is. He's dominant. I would love to put him in front of Duran in this bullpen. It wouldn't cost, I don't think, that much because he's a rental. Now, everyone's going to want him. So you're going to be at a bidding war for a rental. But, you know, the price will be at a rental stage. And then to win that bidding war, I'll roll to Chapman number two. Number three, let's go to a second Red Sox on my list. That is Garrett Whitlock. One of the more underrated pitchers in the game. Really, really good relief pitcher. He's got a 2.4 ERA. He's tracking towards his third straight sub 2.5 ERA season. He's intense. You saw in the World Baseball Classic. I think he would be loved here in Philadelphia as an intense, big-time setup man. Kind of got some Ryan Madsen to him. Like, you know, there's a little bit of Madsen to Lidge to what the Phillies would have with Whitlock to Duran. I see a little bit of that. Very manageable contract. So the next 2 years, he has team options, which to protect the Phillies a little bit in case there's erosion or injury. But $8.25 million next year, $10.5 in 2028. You could almost look at it as requiring him for the next three pennant races. I'm a huge Garrett Whitlock fan. I think a few years ago, he went to a different level. He's got stuff. He's got intensity. He's got fortitude on the mound. I'm a fan. I like so many Red Sox players. It's crazy to me at the start of the season. I know they had some injuries and their lack of power, and they've missed Roman Anthony in a big way. The Red Sox have played better the last couple of weeks. I almost hope they don't realize what they have there because I like that a lot of the Red Sox. And, dude, their pitching staff is awesome. They've done it without Crochet, who could come back later this summer. It wouldn't shock me if they held on everything and made a run. It wouldn't shock me, you know, that they were this year's, Mets of 2024, Tigers of that year. You know, every year there seems to be one of these teams that is so dead and buried, and then they come back. I like a lot of the Red Sox players. They've had a weird year, tough year. But obviously, if they sell, and unless they continue on this hot streak the next few weeks, they're probably going to sell. I would love Whitlock. So a pair of Red Sox. So Mason Miller is the dream. Then Aroldis Chapman and Whitlock as the Red Sox duo that I would love to add to this bullpen. All right, two more names for you. One is a big outside-the-box idea. One is a more reasonable, makes sense, just based on standings and everything going on in the sport today. So the first one, let's start with this. Let's start with Luke Weaver of the New York Mets. He's a really good pitcher. I think it's taken a while for people to realize how good Luke Weaver has become. You know, he's kind of a failed starting pitcher, which most relievers are, but he had a pretty long career in the major leagues with St. Louis trying to be a legitimate starting pitcher, but he found his niche in the bullpen. He has absolutely found it, and he's been good now for a little bit, whether it be St. Louis, the Yankees, or now the Mets. He has a 1.89 ERA. He's having really an all-star caliber season here. The history of this as a starter I like because it gives you the idea and the sense, and if the Phillies wanted, they could ask this guy to get more than three outs in big games. It's similar to what I was saying about Mason Miller, where you could effectively end the game. Now, Miller's way better, but you could effectively end the game after six or six and a third. And if you get that out of Wheeler or Sanchez and you go to Weaver to get you four or five outs, right to Duran. That's, to me, that's how you do it. that's how you get to where you want to get to in the postseason. The Mets are going nowhere fast. Even with Soto having a brilliant season, it's a mess of a team. They've had so many injuries. They're a 2027 team to look at. The Mets are dead. Dead and buried. They've got some young guys they're probably going to want to showcase and look at the rest of the season. You know, Weaver has had a manageable contract this year at $11 million, next year at $11 million. It's really the Brad Keller deal. And the Phillies may have just guessed wrong. You know, I'm going to give you two names here, and then we'll throw Keller in. They all make $11 million per season, all of them. And as of this moment, Keller's the one I'd rather have the least, you know, of all the three of them. I'd rather have Weaver. I'm going to give you one more name after this. Although on $11 million per year contracts, which is it's kind of now the high end for your setup man, your quote-unquote eighth inning guy. It's a big number, but you got to get it right. And the Mets seemingly got it right with Weaver, and the Phillies so far have not got it right with Keller. Would the Phillies add another $11 million arm to their pen? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Now, Chapman makes about that. Makes him a little bit more. But it's obviously prorated for the rest of the season. He's a free agent to me. Whitlock makes less. Mason Miller makes less because he's still on the arbitration track. He's still very young. But Weaver's an $11 million pitcher. So, you know, this is where you wonder with the owner in New York. You know, a couple of years ago when the Mets facilitated trades to get Scherzer out and Verlander out during their 2023 disaster of a season, one of the things they did that year was they ate some money. You know, the owner, Steve Cohen, was willing to eat money to get something back, to get a legitimate prospect of Drew back. I think that's possible now, too. So maybe the Mets would eat some of that Weaver money for next year for the Phillies to throw something real back at them. So he's the fourth name. Fifth name, and this is an outside-the-box idea, and you might say, Joe, no way. And I say, all right, that's fine. But I am interested. And that is our old buddy, Jeff Hoffman. Now, if you just look at the numbers, it's gotten better lately, but the ERA is still in a place that you don't think is great. It's 4.35. It was over 5.6 recently, but he's pitched well. All the peripheral numbers on Jeff Hoffman are still excellent, over 14 strikeouts per nine. You look at his, you know, his under-the-hood metrics, and it's like, whoa, this is one of baseball's best relief pitchers. Yet the ERA has struggled for two straight years since he left the Phillies. It has struggled. It's been over four. I still trust the stuff. I still like Jeff Hoffman. You know, I was rooting for Jeff Hoffman last year in the World Series to get the final out and help the Blue Jays win. Obviously, the Dodgers beat him, and Rojas hits the home run, and Hoffman becomes a GOAT. I still believe in Jeff Hoffman. I am a fan. And once again, it's $11 million. The Phillies didn't want to give him the three-year, $33 million deal. The Blue Jays ultimately did. But now we're halfway through that thing. So it'd be $11 million for next year. It'd be the remainder for this year. Would the Blue Jays eat some? I don't know. You know, I look at Hoffman, and I think the stuff plays so well against big bats because he could strike people out. And that nasty breaking pitch he had that we saw here over years develop is a big thing. Now, you may say, Joe, he's struggled now in some postseasons. I mean, he really has. You go back to 23, gave the home run to Riley down in Atlanta. You go to 24, he struggled in that postseason with the Phillies before they said goodbye. You go to last year. I mean, you look at his postseason numbers, and there's some problems in there. I get it. And he may have that about him. He may be that guy or one of the guys of this generation that just doesn't pitch well in the big, bright, light spot. Boy, that stuff is real. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on a heater the rest of the way. It wouldn't surprise me if a smart team brings him in and says, the star, like, who's pitching? When you watch him, it looks like a guy that should have an ERA in the twos or ones, and yes, that's in the fours. He's going to go on a heater here, which he might already have been started. So I still like Jeff Hoffman. I still believe in Jeff Hoffman. I know there's a lot of risky elements to this contract, the shoulder that got red flagged by the Orioles and the Braves during his free agency a couple of years ago, the Phillies history, the playoff. I get it. But Jeff Hoffman is a big-time arm that could be available here with the Blue Jays not having a great season. All right, so my five names for the Phillies, bullpen arm to pursue before the deadline, Mason Miller, the GOAT, or at least the best one right now, Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock, Luke Weaver, the Mets, Jeff Hoffman, the Blue Jays, obviously Chapman and Whitlock of the Boston Red Sox. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. We got a lot to talk about on the midday show. Be tuned in. Don't forget my newsletter, joe-julio-beehiv.com. That's how you subscribe. It's totally free. Just go there. You see where you can enter your email and you get the you get an email whenever I send out a newsletter, which is usually every single weekday morning, Monday through Friday. So I appreciate you doing that, being part of the show, listening. It I really am thankful that you make this show a part of your sports day. And there's so many options out there. I know there's a billion podcasts out there. Everyone's got a podcast. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen to WIP Daily. Go Phils, going for the win in Cincinnati tonight, and we are on LeBron Watch. Thanks for listening to WIP Daily.